We rise. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Amen. We turn to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This word of the Lord is spoken for you. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, you couldn't help overhearing your name. You were standing by your locker, and just across the hallway at school, a group of friends were gathered together. They were talking, they were laughing, and they mentioned your name. And so suspicion is stirred. We are by nature insecure, a bit suspicious, or even a lot suspicious of other people. What are they up to? High school is especially a time where we're very insecure. We think everyone's looking at me. Everybody's talking about me. Everyone's against me. Does she like me? Does he know I exist? Did they notice my new earrings? We are by nature insecure. And when we find people talking behind our back, it leads to all kinds of suspicions and evil thinking. Are they plotting against me? Well, it turns out they were talking about you. In fact, you have a birthday coming up next Friday, and your best friend was getting together with a group of your other friends to plan a surprise. They were talking not just about you, but they were talking for you, planning something just for you. And so your friend asks you to stop by his house after school, and you walk right into it. A group of people who care about you are here to celebrate and rejoice in a gift they were giving you, jumping out with streamers and party hats. Surprise! Well, they weren't gossiping bad things about you. They were doing this for you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Without even knowing what we were doing, we walked right into it. A gift of God. Something God had planned and prepared for you. It wasn't really about you at all. It's not of yourselves or from yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is for you. It's not about you, it is about Christ, in whom we are a new creation, something God is giving to you as a free gift. But there's something in us that's not so easily convinced. We're skeptical. We're suspicious. Sneaking suspicions that it can't be that simple. Grace. And so we begin to ask questions. Today we're going to explore three questions that lead to a sneaking suspicion. Number one, but what about the rest? Number two, but what if I don't feel it? And number three, but what if I haven't done enough good works? Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, seal in us the sure and certain promise of our salvation in Christ Jesus by grace alone. Amen. Sneaking suspicions. It fills the air. It leads us to all sorts of crooked thoughts and evil places. And so we read, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest." So we ask the question, what about the rest? Who are they? And who am I to not be one of them? Why does God save some people but not other people? It stirs our suspicions. Greedy gossip, wicked whispers permeate the air, and we get into little groups around our lockers talking about the rest. Calling them out. We see politicians and celebrities. We point at the news anchor who lies and says, "Can you believe he said that?" We gawk at the congressman who's caught in a scandal and say, "Those politicians, they're all corrupt." We whisper about the couple who's getting a divorce and say, "Well, that would never happen to me." We think this text is about us versus them, and we're starting to plot our own plans. Plans for their downfall, and it permeates the air we breathe until the prince of the power of the air influences us, infects and pollutes the oxygen we're breathing, and we're caught up in our own insecurities, our own suspicions about other people, and we too remember. We were once dead. And our sinful flesh by nature is dead. But the truth is, this is not about you. It's not about the rest. It's not about you versus the rest. It's about Christ. It's about the surprise gift that God has planned for you and for all people. He gives you this gift, not because of who you are or who they are or what you've done or what they've done, but simply because of who Jesus is and because of what you believe. Because he loves you, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This is not about you, it is for you. You know, suspicion and insecurity can be deadly in a relationship. If you don't trust the people around you, it can lead to all kinds of problems, cliques, schisms, suspicions, and you won't feel so good about it. Because when you're isolated and you think they're talking about you, it makes you wonder, why am I not laughing along with them? Why am I not part of that crowd who is experiencing the things they're experiencing? What have they got that I'm missing? And you ask the question, but what if I don't feel it? That's what Eric was wondering. What if I don't feel it? Eric went to his first Christian concert when he was in college. He's been a Lutheran his whole life, grown up in the Lutheran church, very familiar with it, but now he wants to see what other Christians are up to. So he goes with a group of his college friends to a concert. It was exciting. The music, the energy, a vibe seemed to go through the crowd. They were all excited about what was going on. And then a young man got up on stage, someone about his own age, and he told a story. 5 years ago, I was an alcoholic, addicted to heroin, and homeless. I had hit rock bottom. But it was at that point, in the lowest experience of my life, that everything changed. As I was panhandling along the bridge where I live, someone handed me a pamphlet. It was a Billy Graham pamphlet. A lot like this one here. How to Receive Christ. It was then that everything changed. I received Christ into my life, into my heart, and everything turned around. And now it's your chance to do the same. As Jesus said, you must be born again. If you haven't done so already, come forward and accept Jesus into your life. While everyone else seemed enthused and excited, Eric left troubled. He had been a believer his whole life, or so he thought, but now he was wondering. He had never had an experience like that, where everything changed so dramatically. In fact, as far as he knew, the moment he came to faith was when he was baptized as a baby, and he couldn't remember that at all. And now he was wondering, why don't I feel as excited as these other Christians? What have they got that I'm missing? And so he took this pamphlet home and he opened it up and he read, in order to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you must, number one, admit your need. I am a sinner. Number two, be willing to turn from your sins. Repent. Number three, believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the grave. And number four, through prayer, invite Jesus to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Receive him as Lord and Savior. We are left wondering, why can't we stop after number three? Why does Eric need anything more than to believe in Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection? Why is there something we must do? It leads to suspicion. Have I felt it enough? Have I experienced it enough? I don't always feel so certain. And it makes us wonder, how can babies be saved? Or how can Christians who, when their worship seems so boring, and they don't seem very excited, and their life doesn't seem that great, how can they be saved? How can I be saved? Because I don't always feel so certain or so excited. Jesus doesn't seem to be controlling my life, and like Eric, we're left wondering, am I really saved? But then we open up our text, and we discover the answer is, it's not about you. It's not about you at all. This is about Christ. God is not plotting something against you. He is not measuring your commitment or your prayers or your decision or your experience. He is measuring Christ. Christ who surpasses all we've ever hoped to do or love. And it's not about you at all. It's for you. But God, who is rich in mercy, even when because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The truth is, you've walked through the door already. Walked right into the surprise. Without even knowing it, as a baby or as an adult, You've walked right into the grace of God before you've had a chance to even invite Jesus in. He's already invited you in. In a moment, in an instant, God created life. And yes, we may pray for Jesus to enter into our life, control us with the Holy Spirit. And yes, we should be excited about this. But this isn't the assurance of your salvation. These are the fruits of your salvation. For God has lifted up his Son in the wilderness of life. And there's nothing more to do than turn and believe. It's not about you. It is for you. You've walked right into it. Despite your suspicions and insecurities, you discover your friend was doing this for you. Planning something for you. A surprise party. God has welcomed you with your friends, your Christian family, and Jesus Christ himself right into celebration. But we still have sneaking suspicions. We still have one more question. How much work is enough? Have I done enough good works? What if I don't deserve to enter that door, to join the celebration, because I don't feel like it? And sometimes we think this is what good works are like. They get us in the door to heaven. They're something that gets us to the end, where we finally can be ready to enter the banquet celebration. But the truth is, we're already there. Works aren't something to do before you get in the door. They're something you do after. As Luther puts it, faith does a good work before anyone needs to ask what good work needs to be done. It's already been done. And we're walking in it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When God creates something, he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need us to invent works or do greater works. He simply creates them, and he creates us. He puts us into a vocation as fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, children, co-workers, citizens. He just puts us right into it. His creation drops us right into it so that the works don't need to be sought out. They're right in front of us. No demands or expectations, because you're already there. You've walked right into God's creation. As a teenager or young adult, you walk into God's creation. Your parents just want to see you once in a while. They just want to talk. And you've noticed it's been days since you've last taken a moment to have a real discussion with them. But mom's made a nice meal. And as much as you don't like talking to your parents about what's going on in your life, you know you need to. And in love for your parents, you walk right into the good work God has prepared for you. As a parent, you're walking in God's creation. You see your child's messed up again, and it's up to you to respond. And even though you don't always know what to say or how to say it, you know you need to say something. And in words of correction, forgiveness, love, you walk right into the good work God's prepared for you. As a husband and wife, you are walking in God's creation. After a tough week at work, long hours, all the traffic driving home, the last thing he wants to do is talk. He wants to eat dinner, he wants to watch TV, and he wants to go to bed. But she's been home alone all week, and she needs to talk. And as much as there are tough things to talk about, you know you need to talk. She needs you to talk, and You need her to make you dinner. Together you discover there's a good work for you to walk in together, and it's called marriage. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These works are not about you at all. They are for you, and they're for your neighbor, for those who need you. They're not about what you must do to get in the door. They're what God has given for you to do now that you're in. Without even knowing it, we walked right into it. A gift of God, a planned salvation, no more suspicions. God's laid it all out on the table for us to see. A celebration of what Christ has done. It's not about you, it's for you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen.